Chapman's Ice Cream just added a twisted treat with a whirlwind of flavors. Introducing the all-new Chapman's Twister. The Fruit Twist, strawberry center with twists of cherry, orange, and blue raspberry. The Rainbow Creamy Twister, vanilla ice cream with twists of lemon lime, cherry, and orange water ice. Stacked and twisted, blue raspberry, cherry, lemon lime, and orange. And the Neapolitan Creamy Twister, vanilla ice cream with twists of strawberry and chocolate water ice. Add a twist to your day with chapmans.ca.
I don't know if that was an appropriate choice of music. Tim, why did you pick that song? That's very offensive.
You told me, millennial snowflake.
Told me to.
Yes, I did. Peter and Gracie Rosenberger. I'm so looking forward to this conversation. More than 30 years ago, a young woman struggled to wrap her mind around a hateful new reality following the horrific car accident she endured. Gracie Parker was only 17 years old when her wreck occurred. Gracie's journey has come with brutal challenges. Check this out. 80 operations, both legs amputated in the 90s, treatment by more than 80 doctors in 12 hospitals, more than $10 million in medical bills, relentless pain for three decades. Yet, through all those difficulties, Gracie's successes have been just as astonishing. An accomplished snow skier as a double amputee, bringing two amazing sons into this world, performing for presidents, sharing stages with some of America's biggest stars, singing for hundreds of thousands, launching the world's first full-time evangelical prosthetic limb outreach. Today, Gracie serves, or continues to serve, as the driving passion behind this extraordinary work. While the last few years witnessed Gracie's health taking an even steeper dive, she is even steeper? Seriously?
Sure, why not?
These guys must live in Nashville or something and write country music with this much crap gone down in their life. Man, anyway, they're on the line with us right now. Peter and Gracie Rosenberger. Hello.
Oh, I'm just glad you didn't play Footloose.
Oh.
I mean,
wow.
Really, guys, she's got legs.
I love it. I think you've used that before, Peter. Haven't you on your show?
I have. And I think it's still funny.
Do you guys mind if I talk? Do you mind? Can I just get in here?
All right, I guess we're gonna catch up here, Drew.
Let me give everyone a website here: standingwithhope.com. Standingwithhope.com. I knew right away that these guys needed to be on the show when Peter and I were chatting the other day. Peter, can you tell me what Kathy Lee said to you, please?
Well, she was trying to be cute and funny, and she said, "I guess you're not a leg man, hon." I looked at her and I said, "Sure I am." She pops those suckers off every night and says, "Knock yourself out, big boy. I'm going to bed." Not something you normally hear on today's show.
Well, with Kathy, though, I mean, you know, you never know what's going to happen. That's why she's on there, that crazy lady. She's over in Scotland right now filming a movie.
That's what I understand.
Yeah. Wait a minute. This isn't about Kathy Lee Gifford. Gracie...
It would be if Kathy was on the show.
It totally would be. It's funny. I've interviewed her probably more than anyone else, I think, on the show. I don't know, maybe seven times. You know, we've become pals over the years. And she is a show hijacker, let me tell you. I don't know if that makes her a terrorist, but yeah, she's So, Gracie, when you met Peter and you guys decided to, you know, start dating and kissing and hugging and stuff like that, I don't even know how to ask this.
Just go straight for it. I mean, I'm a upfront kind of gal.
Okay.
Go for it.
Did you, when you were dating and you don't have legs and you're now dating and you're in your younger years, right?
She had legs when we dated.
What? Say it again.
She had legs when we dated. She didn't lose her legs until after the children were born.
Okay, so I'm trying to get the timing of all this right. Okay, so after that, pardon me, the chronology of that whole thing slipped through my crack research team's hands. So as soon as this accident, because you guys were how old? I thought you were 17 years old, right?
I was 17, and I didn't meet Peter until 2.5 years later.
Sorry, say it again. You guys both talked at the same time. One at a time, please.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's going to be hard.
So you were 17 years old when the accident happened, yes?
Yes.
And then when,
I didn't meet Peter, until 2.5 years later.
And when were your, how old were you when your legs were amputated?
Well, see, if I tell you how old I was when I had my legs amputated, then people are going to be able to figure that out. But I then 91 when I lost the first leg, the right leg, and then 95 when I lost the left leg.
Okay.
And I basically lost, we didn't know that we were going to be able to have children because they said I wouldn't be able to have any children. So after my first child, I ended up losing the right leg. And then after the second, I was an amputee when we got pregnant with our second. And so then after he was born, I ended up having to relinquish the left leg.
The other leg. Was there any correlation between being pregnant and losing the legs? Because it sounds like there's some connection.
Well, in the wreck when I was 17, they were cut off and crushed. But we grafted them. They grafted them back on. And we did bone grafts and skin grafts and every kind of graft imaginable. But it just, it was inevitable and they were killing me and I needed to get, you know, they needed to go because the amputations definitely were they're not my problem anymore. They were definitely the hugest problem when I had them.
No.
The rest of the breaks, you know, up in my hips and back and neck and arms and head and stuff, that's still, you know, the unfortunately still the problem.
No, your biggest problem these days is Peter.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
So I think what is there? 3, 5. There's 6 of us here in the studio. I had to count.
You're doing good, Drew.
Use my fingers. There's 6 of us here in the studio. When you said your legs were severed and they had to be reconnected, we all looked at each other with like just. What the heck faces? Were you conscious at any point? Did you wake up and go, "Whoa, I don't have legs"?
I woke up. I went into immediate shock because I fell asleep on the interstate and I had passed a convoy of truckers. And to make a very complicated story a little bit less. They saw it happen, blew their horns trying to wake me up, but once I went to sleep, I sped up to about 72 miles an hour once I hit the cement abutment, and then it propelled me into a creek bed about 18 feet on the other side once that happened. But the you know, slamming, you know, head on into the cement abutment and, you know, did the primary damage, and then flipping did not help anything. So when I got there, I remember trying to open my eyes and not being able to, and I saw flames from the engine and that kind of thing. And the truckers all pulled over, put the engine that had caught on fire out, but they could not extricate me, you know, from the car. So, they talked to me, you know, please don't go to sleep, don't go to sleep. And, but I kept thinking, you know, I couldn't respond to them. You know, I couldn't move my mouth, but now I know that's because I was in shock. And then eventually I just lost so much blood. Then I was unconscious.
Okay. I want to clarify for our Canadian listeners, actually do a little translation. What she said at one point in that story is cement abutment.
Yeah.
I'm Southern.
Yeah, they're Southern, so they say cement.
Well, she got it from Jethro Clampett. at the cement pond. I've tried to work on it. Try to get her to say nuclear. That'll throw you.
Thank you, Mr. Bush. Yes. What do you want to clarify, Gracie?
Well, I want to clarify this, Peter, before you start talking, because it's hard to get you to stop, just like it is me. But we're not in Nashville because we write country music. It has nothing to do with country music.
Just wanted to clarify. I don't know what's going on in your world. You guys seem a little, you know, half a bubble off center, if you know what I mean.
But Kathy Lee lived here for a while, so hey, there you go.
What is Peter, what's the connection with Jeff Foxworthy? You know, because I do know a little bit about the South, because apparently that's the number one pickup line down there is, "Hey, baby, nice tooth."
Well, nobody ever retires and moves up to Canada. Let me just say that.
Wow. Wow.
So, but Jeff and I have been friends for a long time. Actually, he's been studying my family for most of his act. And webcams, it was kind of like Big Brother at my house in preparation for all of his comedy. But we've been friends for a long time. And then he and I did a bit. I asked him if he wanted to do this with me for kind of a PSA of, "You might be a caregiver if," because I have a whole thing that I do for family caregivers. And he said, "Yeah, write out some jokes and we'll do it." And I said, "These aren't jokes. This is my life." And so he and I did a bit on, like, you know, if a hospital bed has never hampered your love life, you're probably a caregiver. And or, you know, no use wasting a semi-private room. Or if you've ever hooked up your wife in her wheelchair to your dog just to see if it would work. Or if while at the grocery store, you're the one asking for a price check on suppositories, you're probably a caregiver. So,
can we get a price check on suppositories, please? Oh, my goodness.
If you've ever used Neosporin as a verb, hold still, baby. I got a Neosporin here so we can get to church on time. So, you know, we learn to laugh at these sort of things, and we have a good time because we realized a long time ago that our identity is not wrapped up in our bodies. Scars on our hearts. And once you kind of make that transition, you can see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel of life that can be lived in joyful moments. And, you know, I think when I watched Gracie Snowski for the first time, it's pretty extraordinary to watch a woman with her banged up body strap on skis and go down a mountain. Mm. And she became quite good at it. She was doing mostly blue slopes out in Montana. And it was really extraordinary to watch her do it. I thought that takes a special kind of person to realize that life is to be lived however you can live it, however you can face it. And that's what we do.
Okay, so you guys are huge support for caregivers. You guys are huge support for folks over in Ghana, Africa, you know, that have had amputations. You guys are like super Jesus people, right? I mean, it's all about, well, what can I do for you, Lord, right? I'm a little more selfish than that. And so I want to get actually to the dark side of all this, because we're going to talk about the light first. I mean, eventually we'll talk about how great you guys are, because that's just, we have to do that at the end, because then that's what people remember. But I want to get to the dark side of who you guys are.
Is that a legal thing?
Gracie stalked me.
Right. Yes.
We met in a past life experience. She was Lady Godiva and I was Mr. Ed. we've got dark to spare. I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you could fail at it, I failed at it. There are times when we just hang, both of us hang our heads, and we're frustrated. We both have gone through very, very difficult things. I descended into insanity myself. And we've been through everything, moral failures on my part. I mean, name it, we've done it. And so the darkness, it's really not about how lurid the tale, it's how great the Savior. And the tale is lurid, and that's, you can read that in Gracie's book, and we put it out there. I remember asking Jeff, because I helped Gracie write her book, and I said, do you think I should put this in there about my own journey and stuff? And it was kind of like writing a book, Gestalt Method, on steroids, doing this, because I was looking at myself through Gracie's eyes.
Sure.
And it was a little bit surreal, but Jeff said, "Are you kidding? It's real life, Peter, and people need to hear real life. They've had enough of the people with the veneer. You guys have got the scars to prove it. You're willing to show your scars. You don't have to." I mean, one of the things we do, Drew, is when we go out on stage or television or whatever, we let people know our story, and Gracie's an amputee, but that doesn't mean you get to see her leg. You know, we don't have to be exhibitionists about our stuff. I think there's enough people out there that are doing that, and that's not really necessary. We want to show people that, you know, you can survive some pretty nasty things in life, and this Savior who extends a scarred hand to our scared hand will reach into our messes, and you know, he reached into Gracie's wreck. He reached into my wreck, and he pulls out something extraordinary. And that's why we do what we do. It's not because we're so noble and wonderful. It's just we've received such noble and wonderful that we want to be the best stewards of that we can.
So tell me about, like, I can just imagine this scenario. Because when you read all the stuff on your site here, standingwithhope.com, you know, it sounds very kumbaya, sounds very Hallmark moment. It sounds lovely. But I can imagine this scenario where, Gracie, you ask for some kind of help for something or other that would be in a regular occurrence because of the fact you don't have legs. And at this particular point, Peter goes, seriously? And he either refuses to help you, or he just leaves, or he gets angry with you or something. And, you know, I can just imagine that there's got to be some serious up-in-your-grill conflict that goes down with this kind of thing. Because,
oh, please.
Yeah?
It happens hourly.
Hourly.
And God love her, she swears sulfurously when she does it.
No, I don't.
I mean, like, oh, my goodness. Like a nerd sailor.
Oh, man. Well, that's all the time we have for this show, folks.
And I tell her, I said, you sing to Jesus with that mouth? Good.
You guys are funny.
And, no.
Man, Gracie, what's it look like under the bus?
Let me tell you this about my wife, Drew. I will say this without any reservation. My wife has no guile. This is a godly, wonderful woman. Me, on the other hand, I got guile to spare. And she's easy to love. She's hard to love well. And it's because it pushes me beyond what I'm capable of doing, and I'm forced to have to lean on Christ for grace, for the courage to go make amends when I screw up, all that kind of stuff. Now, she does her own stuff, and she's not perfect, and she'll tell you that. And if she doesn't, I will. But she's an extraordinary individual who lives with brutal challenges, and I can say that about my wife. She's not mean-spirited. She's not bitter. She's not trying to somehow be anything other than what she is. Wears me out, though. I swear, the woman can't watch.
But hold on. You're supposed to say that stuff because she's the one without the legs. You cannot talk smack about someone who's got some kind of deficient injury or handicap. You can't say anything bad.
Her legs are the problem. It's CPD. That's what she suffers from.
You say OCD?
No, CPD. It's a lesser known disease. There's no cure. There's only treatment, and there really is not even that. It's chronic punctuality dysfunction. and I don't know if it's gender related. I don't know. The woman can't watch a clock. No. I will say that. Yep. And that's where it gets dicey over here.
Oh, man. All right. Hold on a second. Hold on. Let's talk about this evangelical prosthetic limb outreach that you've got. Outreach. I probably didn't say that right. So evangelical prosthetic limb outreach. I mean, basically, you're going over to Africa and lending a hand?
No, basically. We give them hands. But we give them to them.
I think he knew that, Grace.
I know. Okay. So, we started that in 2005. No, I'm not going to say goodnight. I'm sorry.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
No, goodnight, Gracie. No, say goodnight, Gracie, for you and Drew. We go over there to, we take teams, you know, of prosthetists and volunteers, and sometimes if a physical therapist wants to volunteer and go with us, that also, I used to be able to do the physical therapy myself until the flat back syndrome set in about 5 years ago. And so now, you know, when we go next month, then I'll be doing more just one-on-one out in the patient waiting room, and which I'm really looking forward to, because before I always felt like just by my personality, oh, I need to do something. I mean, I need to work when I'm over here. These other people are working, sweating. And, you know, I'll still be sweating. It's just hot and humid. And people go, well, do they have seasons? I said, yes, hot and hotter. Those are the two seasons.
Yeah.
But also West Africa suffers the same thing that I do about punctuality and clocks.
Yeah.
So that is, they're on active time. Yeah. Like I told
the intertub.
They
well,
do.
Drew, what we so, do is we teach and equip them to build limbs for their own people. We have a recycling limb program. We collect used prosthetic limbs from all over the country, go to a local prison here in Tennessee where inmates volunteer to disassemble them for us. And it's an amazing, one-of-a-kind program, and I love the inmates. They really love doing it. It gives them something interesting to do. And then we take all the parts that can be recycled, feet, knees, pylons, screws, adapters, all that kind of stuff, and we'll send it over there. Then we'll buy the stuff that can't be recycled that they always have to have. And then we take a team over there. We teach and equip them to do it. And it's an amazing work. I mean, it's a great way to represent every part of our life, our values as believers, our values as Americans. You build bridges with that. I mean, it's very hard to hate someone when he's helping your little girl walk, you know?
Yep.
And so... You build so many different relationships with folks. We treat patients from as far away as Nigeria. We don't normally do hands because it doesn't get the value for the individual as much as legs do, and they're more cost prohibitive. But we do sometimes do that. And one of the most moving
if they're not missing both arms, we definitely do it.
Well, a man from
that
Nigeria,
sounds horrible. Do you realize what we're saying? That sounds awful. Okay.
Well, stay focused, you two. Stay focused.
I know.
Okay, focus, man.
A man from Nigeria emailed me from an internet cafe once for almost a year when we first started doing this.
I received those same emails as well.
Was he a prince?
But he asked me to put hands on his boy who lost him. He was 21 years old working as an electrical worker, and both of his hands were burned off. And so we worked it all out. We brought the equipment, but the power kept going off at night. They were having some big problems with the generator and everything else. But we finally got the arms done, and then the power was shut off permanently. And the last night we were there, we hadn't fitted him to the boy yet. And so we ended up rolling him out there and doing it in front of the headlights of a van. And I had a prosthetist on each arm finishing these hands and all the screws and everything to hook in the hooks and the cables. And we did it by headlights. I think we're the only ones that have ever assembled prosthetic arms by headlights in Africa. But it was an amazing moment when he reached out his arm and the muscles contracted and the wires pulled and the little hook opened that we put on his hand. And he was able to grab my hotel room card key that I held out. I just held it something he could grab.
That's cool.
And he grabbed that. And his father, it was here we are in the night air in Ghana, and his father looked at me and said, you know, you promised me you'd help with my boy, and you did, and you did it unto the least of the. I mean, we were all just dissolving at that point.
Sure.
But it's an amazing work to go do this. But you know, what do we have that we haven't received? And so, how can we be stingy with this great gospel, this great freedom, this great grace that we have? And I get more out of it, and Gracie, I think say the same thing. We get more out of it than we give. It's an amazing work.
Oh yeah, listen, I'm a volunteer hospital chaplain, and I've said to the person that runs the program that we should be paying the hospital to be chaplains because, you know, you think you're going into some room helping somebody die better, and you walk out of that room, your life completely changed. Completely impacted by those. C.S. Lewis would talk about these things called thin places because the Celts would often talk about geographical places around the world that the gap between the creator and the created gets really thin. I talk about this all the time, thin places. And I think that moment you just described was a thin place where God and the created and the creator, the gap got thinner. That's exactly what happened when you were...
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's like, it's exactly like St. Augustine said when he said, depending, I'm not going to, you know, do the withers and thou art thing, but, you know, preach the gospel often, and if necessary, use words.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. And it's not because we're so great, but like Peter said, because we serve a Savior that is so great. And, I've learned actually more about what my name actually means, my given name, Grace, through this entire thing. Because, we were both Christians when we married. I was a Christian when I was 17. Corrie Ten Boom led me to the Lord, Holocaust survivor, when I was 6 years old. When I had my accident, I thought, I was close had ever been. And that's when I realized, not as close as I thought. It was a long time I asked why. Yeah, God can handle our whys. He doesn't get all uptight about it. No.
Right.
In fact, I think he wants us to ask questions. But see, now, and this is years later, but now I go, you know what? I don't have to have the answer to all my whys. I don't. I just need to trust the one that I know who does have those answers, because I'm not going to get it. I mean, the Bible says that our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. He sees eternity, like in a tube. We see it looking like a radar map, with bleeps all over it. But that's not how, he has always been and he always will be. And he reaches down into this space and time and says, okay, this is really what I want to reveal to you. I want to reveal to you my heart. And his heart loves us so greatly. We know the whole deal with Christ dying on the cross. But the fact that he took all of our mess is boggling to my mind. The older I get, the more I go, wow. Like Paul said, I used to think, what does that mean, really? As the more I know of the law, the more I realize I'm a sinner. Oh, the older I get, I realize more and more, oh, God, my heart is so much blacker than I ever imagined.
Yeah, Peter told me about that.
I know. But it's true. When
you guys are cheeky. You guys are really cheeky. Look, here's the deal. I gotta wrap this up, but here's the deal. I very rarely get I very rarely get ministry people on the show because I never wanted it to be that kind of a show. Like, I'm not a Huntley Street, I'm not a Pat Robertson kind of 700 Club kind of thing. But it's your story, it's your pulse, it's your personality, it's your cheekiness, it's the challenge that you've both endured. And I think there's an authenticity about you guys that I just really, really love. And so that's why I had you on the show. I want everyone to know about standingwithhope.com. I want everyone to know about Peter and Gracie Rosenberger, a good, old Japanese family name, Rosenberger. But more than anything, if you want to support these guys, if you want to track with them, if you want to follow what they're doing, if you want to partner with them. But another thing here is that, Peter, you've got this radio show that you do. Tell me about this show.
Well, it's called Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. And starting next month, I'll be on more than 200 stations here across the country in the United States. And it's the nation's only syndicated, probably the only syndicated radio program for caregivers in the world. And we are determined we are going to give a well-lit path to family caregivers to safety, where they can kind of catch their breath, take a knee if they need to, and then start developing better strategies for living with long-term issues of chronic illness, disability, aging parents, whatever, special needs children. And I understand the pitfalls of these things. I have made every kind of mistake you can make as a caregiver, but I've learned from them. I've learned about myself, about life, about love, about God, about faith, and practicality of living this out, of taking care of somebody who has some type of impairment, whether it be as severe as Gracie or more severe. At any given time, my situation is not as dire as some, but it's more dire than most, and I've been doing it now for 3+ decades. So that gives you an ample time to see some things and connect some dots. I am on a mission to strengthen family caregivers, and I love getting to do it. It's hopeforthecaregiver.com.
So you're kind of like the Blues Brothers, on a mission from God. Peter and Gracie Rosenberger.
It's dark, we're wearing sunglasses, and we got a full tank of gas.
Full tank. What's the rest of the?
And it's night out.
What?
And it's night out.
And it's night out. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
And it's night out.
Guys, thank you for just doing this with a light heart. There's so many stinking ministries out there. They're just too earnest, and it makes me have little throat vomits. So thank you for being that real about
and,
stuff.
You know, and I love the fact that you are just so reserved and just coy and all those things, you know, subtle. And you're our kind of guy, clearly, because if you've noticed, you've not seen us on the 700 Club. there's a reason for that, I'm thinking.
We're more of the 399 Club.
You guys are good.
Not ready for the 700 Club players.
No. Well done. Yes. Well done. Peter and Gracie Rosenberger, here's a website, standingwithhope.com. Guys, I hope you have a great weekend. Take care and goodbye.
You too.
Okay, bye, guys.